Everybody stand by. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your interesting no-show tonight, the Blog Talk Radio show on the RBR Network that addresses New Thought Metaphysics, which simply means a new way of thinking as we move beyond the physical and discuss the metaphysical aspects of spiritual intervention that incorporates the wisdom of yesterday with the technology of today. We have a phenomenal show planned for you tonight. We're excited about getting it started, and it will be interesting as we do that because we're having some technical challenges along the way. But you know what? It's okay because everything works together for good to those who know and are called according to the purpose that Spirit has set up for them. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan, along with guest co-host Ms. Carrie Kelly. And it is our pleasure to serve as your host and to invite spirit-filled people who know who they are and are then taking that information into the world, beginning with their neighborhoods, friends, co-workers, into the mosque, the temples, the synagogues, the shoeshine parlors, and everywhere else, and asking the most important question anyone can ask, and that is, what can I do to help make your life better? What can I do to help you understand me a little bit more? And by extension, I then understand you more, and we are able to discuss our similarities instead of our differences. Tonight, we have a phenomenal gentleman coming back to the show, my very dear friend and the talented musician, Mr. Stefan Skajari, out of Maryland, my good friend. And we're going to talk about the impact of musicians on current events. How is it that people like Satchmo and Louis Armstrong, like Miles Davis and others who traveled overseas, when people were hearing that all manner of terrible things were happening in the States and that blacks and whites weren't getting together, and yet they then saw through all of these phenomenal people, just as they see through our guest, Stefan Skajari, and through all of the other phenomenal musicians and vocalists and stylists that are out there, just how things really, really, really work. So we are excited to have Steph with us. We may even get to hear a little bit of his music tonight. Who knows? We don't know how things are going to work, but the one thing that we do know is that it's going to be phenomenal. It is going to be awesome. Steph is also the minister of music for Unity by the Bay Church. My very, very, very dear friends there, the talented Mahala is a spiritual leader. And as such, Steph, a prolific gospel pianist and composer anyway, mixes traditional jazz and conventional music and metaphysicals everything to make it sound all right. Good evening, Stefan Skajari. How are you, my friend?
Good to hear from you, Robert. I'm doing well.
Oh, of course you are, and I'm so excited that you're back on our program. You are no stranger to this show. Carrie and I have had you on numerous times, and our listening audience, they are always excited about having you here. And folks right up front will share with you that we are having some technical difficulties, and I'm kind of floating in the blind here tonight. But my good friend Jim has decided to help his brother out and is supporting me. He is my cane today and is helping me to do some things that we need to do. Steph, you and I, of course, have all types of phenomenal music that we bring into the experience between you and I, and I've been to so many of your jazz concerts. I, of course, have been to your gospel and your rhythm and blues, and I've heard you do vocals and so forth and so on. Would you just share with our listening audience for a moment, what is your impetus? What is it that stirs up the gift that is within you to allow you to do what it is that you do?
Well, a long time ago, I think I decided that if I can get really good at a lot of different aspects of music, I'm going to be successful. So often, I went to the Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York, and I started out as a classical player. And so often what happens with many musicians that go into this field professionally is they focus on just one aspect of being in the music business. And I decided to go just the opposite direction. My interests are varied, and I just sort of have followed the interests that have taken me in all around the world several times. But long story short, I am playing a lot of classical music now in this part of my career. I've played about 30 years of jazz music and, as you mentioned, some gospel music and some rock music, and I'm singing more. I'm having a ball doing a lot of different things right now, and it seems to be paying off. I'm busy, where most people would be going the opposite direction to go, and it's sort of slowing down. I'm speeding up, it seems like. And I can't complain about that. I'm really having a good time.
Oh, well, I understand how it is that you are having a good time, because I know the joy that you bring to people. And any of us that are able to help somebody along the way a little bit, to bring a little joy into their lives, we get excited about getting up in the morning. We get excited about being able to stay up later at night and to do something that's going to help somebody else somewhere else to move forward in some wonderful and wonder-filled ways. So
right.
I do know that. Now,
oftentimes tell students of mine is we work so hard at trying to perfect our art and try to be creative and do what we do as well as we can. And then once that happens, it's just you sort of hold your hand out and say, here to your audience, this is my gift to you. This is what I want to give to you. And that's a really good feeling to just give it away.
That's right. And to give it away, though, continues with that cycle of life, you know, the taking in, which is coming from spirit. And then we open our arms like the little people do when they say, pick it up. Well, we pick up spirit, and spirit puts its arms around us. And then we give that baby away to others who are then able to do that same type of thing. And it just goes on and on and on and on. And it becomes a huge ball of wonder-filled energy and inspiration. And I know whenever it is that I sit and listen to you, my friend, that is what it is that I am getting.
Thank you very much.
Pieces,
thank you.
Absolutely. The pieces that you do are just awesome. And I know that not only does your inspiration, which of course means God inspired, come from spirit, but it also comes from that lovely wife of yours. It comes from your family, and it comes from your church family from the jazz musicians that you play with. Talk to us a little bit about the connection with people and how you then get inspired to bring certain songs up in certain ways based upon the interaction that you have had with them.
Well, what happened last Sunday was kind of interesting. We had a guest artist who was, I guess, got her signals crossed, and she never showed up for the church service. And so on the spur of the moment, I had to come up with a couple of musical numbers. And we had such a topsy-turvy week as a nation, you know, with the incident down in South Carolina, That's all I could think of were those people that had been massacred in that church, in a house of prayer, in such total peace. I play the Battle Hymn of the Republic, and it was completely extemporaneous. I didn't give it one thought before I started playing. You know, I do a lot of improvisation, and sometimes I just improvise, and that's what is offered in the church service. But I just put my hands on the keyboard, and the Battle Hymn of the Republic came out. Everybody stood up. I mean, it was just great. Everybody was singing along, and there was such an incredible, uplifting spirit that happened at that moment. You know, it was just like it just happened right then and there, and it was. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Oh, and I have no doubt that it was, and that it always is. We have Carrie Kelly, who is standing by, and Jim, just to alert you that I'm going to ask you to bring Carrie into our conversation as well. And I don't know if you remember visiting with Carrie before when you were with us, Steph, but Carrie is also a professional vocalist and does some phenomenal things with the Science of Mind Church and other churches in the Oakland, California area. Carrie, mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on how it is that people are impacted by music, and what are your thoughts in terms of having heard some of Steph's music before, and how it is that it impacts you?
Well, good music always makes me feel good. So that's, you know, part of it. The other piece of it is that, you know, music comes from a place that doesn't have gender. It doesn't have a race in terms of a ethnicity, color-wise. It has feeling, and it mm-hmm. moves through you in a way of vibration and feeling. So, I mean, that music can take you on a journey. So, like when you said you played the Battle Hymn of the Republic, I could feel that and feel the energy of the words of that song and the strength of it and how it could bolster people that really need some healing and some hope right now. And what I really love is the improvisation of it all. It was like, you know, no thought to it, just being open and available to be used to provide that healing and hope through the song that you played. So you were the vessel, and that was beautiful.
Excellent. And Steph, is that right on cue with what your feelings are in terms of how it is that you play the music?
You know, definitely. I think as a performer, one of the most important aspects of this kind of life in as a professional performer is to obviously be prepared before you're playing before an audience, but more importantly, to get out of the way. Mm-hmm. So often, and you could probably agree with me, Carrie, on this, we hear performances that might be technically perfect. The singer might have a 5-octave range, or there might be a lot of pyrotechnical aspects to the performance, and it just leaves you flat. Because I think what might be happening in that experience is the performer is too preoccupied with doing the performance. And as a performer, I have found that I connect better with audiences, and I feel better about my own performance if I can get out of the way of the performance. In other words, let the spirit move you, or let that energy that you have created take you on a journey. Oftentimes we are our own worst enemy in that we try too hard or try certain technical aspects during the performance that don't allow us to carry that energy to the audience. And an audience, I'm a firm believer in the fact that an audience picks up on that ability for a performance to happen sort of extemporaneously. So it sounds and feels like this is the right thing that I'm hearing at this very moment. This is the thing that I should be hearing right now. I think that's fascinating, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And one of the reasons that you and I play so well off of each other, I think, Steph, is because of our love one for the other, certainly, but also because we allow spirit to just guide us and to go with the flow. And,
right.
And when we do that, then we just pick up automatically. You will start playing something based upon something that I have said from the pulpit in a sermon or in one of my meditations. And then after I hear what you have played, then I'll come back to the audience and say something relative to that, and then everybody just agrees with it because they were thinking the same thing. See, I think serendipity, synchronicity, and spirituality is so integral to people understanding and caring for and loving each other in an awesome way. And speaking of that, that's a wonderful segue because, you know, tonight we were going to showcase about four or five of your songs, Steph, and do some other things. But instead, when you and I spoke a little bit earlier today, we agreed to actually talk about the situation that happened in South Carolina, in Charleston, South Carolina, in that edifice erected for spirituality, in that space that is deemed sacred, that where people are you would think able to come, and even during war times, usually that's the last place that is bombed because of the fact that people all over recognize that regardless of how it is that one worships, a place of worship is a sacred space and place.
Right.
But you and I spoke earlier, and part of our conversation, we said how important it is for all of us at this particular time to acknowledge what has happened. And I shared with you that this past Sunday, I and a friend and I actually went to services at a church that I had not been to before. We went to the services of one of my good dear friends who works at one of the post offices here locally. And I just like this guy so much. And I was just have been so impressed with the way that he handles people and that he deals with life. And specifically how he deals with my mother, because let me tell you, you have to be a saint to deal with my mother. My mother's not listening, and she got out of real trouble. But
dear,
he deals wonderfully well with my mom, and she loves all of the people there. For her, even though she is in pain, she will get up and find an excuse, a reason to go to the post office because of the way that they play with her and how much fun she has in the process. As one example, when she walked in one day, one of the clerks said to her, "Well, it's good to see you again. Where have you been so long? Up kicking your heels up or something?" And she said, then my mother looked at her, picked up her cane, and put it up on the counter. And she said, and then the girl said to her, she said, "Listen, I just want you to know I'm not scared of that. I'm not afraid of that. I am not afraid of you and that cane." And she said, "Well, you better be." So they play like that. So and the other gentleman, whose name is Mark, does the same type of thing. So I was so moved by that. And he had invited me a long, long time ago to come over to his church. And so finally on Sunday I went. But and I, of course, even though it's a different type of mindset, it's more of a traditional church. A church is a church, and if we can worship, we can worship together. And
right.
I shared with you earlier, Steph, that they got caught up, though, on the Supreme Court's decision to move in the way that they did relative to people coming together, and they completely overlooked and never, ever said anything about Charleston, South Carolina, and the nine people that lost their lives there. That just was so interesting to me, but it also helped me to realize the importance of what it is that we do in New Thought Metaphysics. So I want for you to go back, Steph, if you will, and share with people what that did for you in terms of watching all of the things that were going on as you thought about your own family and your own church group and church members, because you had to personalize it. So how did that come across for you?
Well, my wife and I were down in Asheville, North Carolina, visiting our daughter, and this thing happened. And, of course, it was nonstop on the television news coverage. One of the questions that my daughter asked me was about that Confederate flag and why was that so important? Why were so many people divided on that issue? And it just brought it home to me that her generation and the shooter's generation had no idea what that flag meant to most people, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not old enough. And in the news coverage, of course, the obvious symbolism for the Confederate flag is it was the flag of the Confederacy. It was a battle flag when we had our Civil War in the 1860s. And so there was the North and the South. And so it's understandable that two sides of a conflict would have their own flags, right? It was a battle flag. But the thing that she had no idea, my daughter had no idea of, is that Confederate flag went up, was being flown in the 1960s as a statement against civil rights, against the anti-segregation that was going on. They flew that flag to remind people that they did not want people to come together. They didn't want everybody to have the civil rights that they deserved. They flew that flag as a white supremacist flag. That's why it caused so much hatred. And here I'm explaining all this to my daughter and realizing, my God, I just wonder how many people in this country have no idea how important that flag was. You know,
right.
Then when Reverend Pinckney had his funeral, he was lying in state in the Capitol Dome, he was lying underneath that Confederate flag on that flagpole, and I just think that's amazing. It's amazing that we haven't addressed this issue a lot earlier. But out of all this hatred, maybe something really, really, really good will come of this. And it looks like the country has made a major shift in the right direction to addressing this issue of equality. You know, we live in America. That's the backbone of that's the foundation of our country.
Mm-hmm. You know, I said to a very dear friend of mine, one of my brothers actually, back during the time when President Obama was about to run for election, and my friend had indicated that He didn't really feel that Obama understood business and was willing to work on the side of business people to get some things done, because here he was bailing out the auto industry and doing some things to help folks with the banks and what have you. And I said to my friend, I said, you know, here's the thing. When your house is on fire, the first thing that you do is you run into your house and you grab the most critical and essential thing to you in the world, and that's your family, your wife, your husband, your children, and you run out of the house and you put them in safety's way. And then you run back in the house and you grab the pets. And then if there's still time, you go back in and maybe you get a few heirlooms. But the most important critical life elements are in not in the house, but outside now. And so that is what I said to my friend that Obama was doing. And that is what has proven to be the case, I feel, in the way that he is dealing not only with life, but with everything else. And one of the things that he said was, he said, enough already. There are too many guns and too many ignorant people.
Boy.
And so we need to do something, ladies and gentlemen, about that. Congresswoman Gaffney, who was shot and maimed and now is challenged with that, and her astronaut husband who had to come out of that field doing the things that he was doing. See, people are giving their lives. Those nine people in Charleston, South Carolina, gave their lives, gave the utmost sacrifice in order for others to move forward. And we are. Our country. And our country is still the best country in the world. Even with all of the challenges that we have, I feel that there are people like you who are going to now write additional pieces of music that people can listen to and will feel moved by Stephane Scajari, that when they come to that beautiful center that you all are erecting in Maryland now, near the Bay Bridge and close to all of the good things that go on there, they will feel that energy, and it's all because of that. And so all of these folks have not given up their lives in vain, but yet they have laid them down in order to help others to walk across to, in my opinion, safety, security, and stability. We welcome you folks to call in. Jim can see you when you call. I can't right now. I am, as I said earlier, flying blind. But if you do have a question or a comment that you would like to make, please call in 347-838-9142. For those of you who are online, that you will have to actually call in if you'd like to ask your question. Jim has probably opened the chat line now. And so if you would like to ask your question in the chat room, you may do that. He will share it with us, and we will get Steph to deal with that and to help us to understand what that is all about. Stephane Scajari, you play in places like Blues Alley in Washington, D.C., which is, for anybody that likes jazz and has ever been to Washington, D.C., they had to stop by there. Nancy Wilson and Chuck Mangione and Stephane Scajari, you know, play in Blues Alley. So tell us about how it is that your music and all of the various genres that you bring into this music and dealing with choirs and what have you, how does that help you to become an ambassador of goodwill to share your message?
Oh, boy. I think there's a great spirit in music. Not that there isn't a great spirit in everything that we do, but when we start talking about music and listening to music, for me at least, of all the arts, there's a higher vibration going on with the art of music. It transports our spirituality in the best way, I do believe. I mean, whether I'm playing a blues piece, whether I'm playing a gospel hymn, whether I'm playing a piece by Maurice Ravel or Chopin, there's a spirituality to music that is like no other. And I think the reason that is there's the performer and the audience, and there's a connection that exists when we listen to music. There is a pathway that is provided by the performance, and the audience is really filling in that pathway. In comparison to, a piece of art on a canvas. That art on a canvas is providing a pathway, but it's also providing images that the observer takes in. Or a piece of poetry is providing a pathway, but it's providing words at a storyline. Now, with music, it's, for me at least, it's just more on the, emotional level. The audience can really fill in the blank a lot more readily with music, in my opinion. And I think that's why, you know, you see, even in the Bible, you see this hierarchy of images or a painting, and usually at the top of this image is an angel playing a harp. The angel's always at the top, right? There's a certain way that communication, it's so human but so celestial at the same time. And I think that's the real magic of great music. It transports the listener, kind of opens his ears, gives him a pathway for him to travel. And that might be a long answer, but I'm sorry.
No, it's a perfect. It's actually a perfect answer, Steph, and it's exactly what I expected to hear from you. I had no idea what you would say, but I knew it would be right. And believe me, my friend, that to me sounds exactly right. And I love that. You do on your album Crossover 2006. You do a piece from Miles. I believe it's called Blue and Green. Is that right?
Yeah.
You do that piece there. Tell me about the influence of Miles Davis, and because that piece is you do that differently from the way that I've heard anyone else do it. Tell us a little.
Yeah, there's a segment in that piece. The opening of Blue and Green, there's a melodic line that sounds a lot like part of My Funny Valentine by Richard Rodgers. And so I just sort of noticed that, and I love both pieces. So I recorded on that album Blue and Green as a part of a medley, segueing into My Funny Valentine. I think it works really nicely. There's a magical quality to Blue and Green on the original Miles Davis recording. You know, he plays that line over and over, and there are slight variations each time he plays it, and it's like there's a way that each time it comes around and the listener hears it, you're hearing it for the first time. And I think that's pretty magical. That is really magical how an artist can make something happen sonically that will carry the listener from point A to point B. And even if he's repeating that segment of music, he's repeating it his own way. And it's it's being heard for the second time. So it's just like you notice the fact that this is the same music, but it's a little bit different each time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really cool idea that Miles had doing that. Again, it's a very human element, you know. Even when we're speaking to one another, maybe the best example might be a chant. Like you would have a mantra and you say the same phrase over and over. Now you know it's the same phrase and it's being repeated, but there's a change to it as it goes
Absolutely.
On. It's a human change, you know,
yeah.
that kind of feeling.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to The No Show. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan, and it is our pleasure to come into your homes, into your automobiles, and into your telephones and everywhere else you will allow us to be every Wednesday evening with The No Show. We thank you. We don't take that for granted. We give thanks to you and appreciate that very, very, very much. This evening, we are visiting with my dear friend, who is the Minister of Music for Unity by the Bay Church in Annapolis area of Maryland, close to the Bay Bridge and a suburb of Annapolis, Maryland, and where he also supports the talented spiritual leader of Unity by the Bay, and her name is Mahala, my very, very dear friend there. We invite you to go by, and when we come back to Steph in just a moment, I'm going to ask him to not only tell you where the church is and where he will be this coming Sunday so that you might go there then and visit with him, and also to give you his website and contact information so that you can get all of his music. Believe me, I have it, and I play it over and over and over again. This, again, is the RBR Network, and we are so pleased to offer a number of shows like this that help you to understand how it is that people are moving through life, talk about the things that are of importance to you, like what has happened recently, like what is going to happen tomorrow. And let me give you a couple of other things just rather quickly that are going on in our world on the RBR Network shows. On Monday, we have the Yanoa Center of Light at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, hosted by Keith Blanchard in Memphis, Tennessee. Keith's guests come from a broad cross-section of the metaphysical community, and he is a best-selling author and the subject of a biographical film, and he, too, is a professional musician. We like professional musicians here at the RBR Network, believe me. On Tuesday, we'd like to invite you to at 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And by the way, all of our shows are Central Standard Time because we come out of Memphis, Tennessee. But the Night Search Show at 9:30 p.m. is hosted by Eddie Middleton from Memphis, Tennessee. And Justin Abner, I guess, is still supporting him in doing that. Eddie is the Tennessee State Director for MUFON, M-U-F-O-N, which is the organization that investigates UFO sightings. And they just had a big thing over in Memphis here recently. And so I know that if you will listen in, that they will be happy to share some things with you. You know about this show on Wednesday, but I want to tell you about my dear friend who comes after me at 8:30 p.m., and that's the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, hosted by our own James Renford Powell. The program was created to provide the commentary on the support material, and that happened. All of that stuff went out, and people are still excited and talking about it. I was part of that process as well, and I am still learning from it. The show is also broadcast on the Dream Vision 7 Network each week from Boston with listeners in 135 countries around the world. Okay, that one is also supported and moderated by the same person who is the moderator of my show, and that's Rhonda Harrison. On Tuesday, there are some good things going on. And the Searchers Roadmap Show, speaking of Rhonda, she hosts that at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. And the Searchers Roadmap was one of the first RBR shows and thus is the longest-running show. Rhonda is a healer, and she often hosts shaman, other healers from around the world at her home 9,000 feet up the mountains of Colorado. On Saturday, Soul Town, the Sound of Music is hosted from Memphis, Tennessee by Reginald Jenkins, and Reginald was a founding member and CEO of Sound Town Records, which was established after Stax Records in Memphis closed down. You definitely want to check that out. I want to go back up to Thursday for a minute because I want to talk about the Progressive News Weekly show at 5:30 p.m. that is hosted by Daryl Clark from New York and is co-hosted and moderated by our own Cecil McDaniel, who is also the director of the Renford Broadcast Network and Renford Broadcast Radio. So we have some awesome things going on for you. You want to come back and check in with us from time to time so that we can share with you the new things that are coming up, the old things that are going on that we bring back, and all of the phenomenal people that are of our menagerie of people that we bring in to talk with you, such as Stefan Skajari, the Minister of Music for Unity by the Bay, who is here visiting with us this evening. Steph, if I am able to, I really want to see if we can't make some things happen with one of your songs. But in the meantime, I'm going to play around with that and see what I can do. Go ahead and share with the folks where it is that Unity by the Bay is now, where you're going to be this Sunday, because I know that I guess you're still in your old location this particular Sunday. And then where it is that you will be in maybe a month or so in your new space, and then tell folks how it is that they can contact you directly. Tell them how many albums, CDs you have, and whether or not there's a new one. And I know that there's not a new one because otherwise I would have had it. I'm certain. But anyway,
first things first.
I've
been at Unity by the Bay Church for about 20 years. And it's on Ritchie Highway in Severna Park, Maryland. I think the address is 866 Severna Park, 866 Ritchie Highway, Severna Park, Maryland. And
behind the bowling alley.
We affectionately, instead of calling it Unity by the Bay, UBB, we call it Unity Behind the Bowling Alley, which is it's sort of a landmark, what everybody knows in that area. Soon, in about 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to be in our new location. We purchased a beautiful property. It's about 6 acres, and it's towards the Bay Bridge, beautiful Chesapeake Bay. It's in a residential wooded area, and we've changed the house that we purchased, and we're making it a church. One of the interesting things, the sanctuary of that is to be our new sanctuary used to be a pool room. I mean, the people that owned the house before us, they wanted to build an indoor swimming pool, and that never was completed. But the pool wasn't put in, but the structure was there, and it is absolutely gorgeous. It's a brick building, and it has all these tall windows all around on three sides of this big room, which was going to be their pool room, swimming pool room. That's going to be our new sanctuary, and it's just stunning. I mean, we look out and there are trees everywhere. We are so excited about this big move, and that will happen in about 3 weeks or so. And so we're really holding the faith for this move. Our congregation is growing weekly. Actually, we just had a new members Sunday last Sunday, so we're just excited. We need more space from where we are right now, so this new home offers that and some room for growth too. So I'll be very, very pleased when we finally make the big move over. I guess we'll be in that new building before the end of July, so I'm excited about that. Regarding my information, the biggest part of the information should be for the listeners, the spelling of my name. My first name is spelled S-T-E-F. That's short for Stefan or Stefano. And my last name is Scagiari. It's an Italian name, and it's spelled S-C-A-G-G-I. A-R-I. My father was from Asiago, Italy. So I have a website, and it's my name, StephScagiari.com, and so people can go online and find all my pertinent information. There's a place where you can join my emailing list, my mailing list, and find out where I'm playing. There's a concert section of past performances and upcoming performances. There's a store. You can click on the store and find out which CD you'd like to purchase online. It's really cool. The internet is just fantastic, and I'm very proud of my website. So it's not real elaborate, but it's very attractive and gets to the point and gives you a lot of information. So I hope you visit StephScagiari.com.
Absolutely. Steph, I want for you to stand by because I want to see if we actually might be able to get one of your pieces of music up and actually play that for everybody. So stand by, Steph.
All right.
Gotta love it. You gotta love it. The music of Stefan Scagiari, my dear, dear friend over in Maryland. Steph, we have to get you over here to Little Rock and over to Memphis, Tennessee to visit with our friends that are there. We've got some great jazz folks here in this area, some great R&B people. Some great gospel folks, so you'll have big fun, my friend. So we have to work that out. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the music of Stefan Scagiari. What You Do to Me, I believe, was that particular tune. And what album was that off of, Steph?
Oh, boy. Was the crossover album. Yeah.
Crossover album, that's right. Crossover 2006. I mean, that's been 9 years for that particular album. That's one that I just play to death, okay? And I knew that even though everything else seemed to have not been working as we wanted for it to, that one would probably work tonight because it just says, oh, it's Robert. It's Robert. We got to play for him tonight. So I am so glad that you all got to hear a little bit of this man's work and this spiritual man. That to me is the key. I mean, while it is wonderful for all of us to be nice people, what's really important is that the Spirit of God that is within us actually shows up in such a wonderful way that we then move forward and do some really, really, really great things. Steph, tell us about the people that play with you. I know that a lot of the folks have been with you for a good while. Tell us about your musicians that accompany you on your pieces.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mark Russell is my dear friend on bass, and he's been with me, I guess, over 20 years. We just sort of, what's wonderful about playing with the same guys over a long period of time is you are like family, and it's almost, I know what he's going to do before he does it, and he knows what I'm going to do before I do it, and that's just great. I love that feeling. The drummer on that album is Greg Granger, a terrific musician. I feel the same about Greg. He's with a band right now that Acoustic Alchemy, and it's a band based out of London, and they do a lot of traveling, so I don't get to see Greg as much as I used to. A guitar player that I'm doing a lot of work with currently, Rick Whitehead, I've known for many, many years, and we're playing some concerts coming up. We're playing the Chestertown Jazz Festival. Rick and I and Mark Russell will be on bass. Rick and I are also doing some other concerts. This year, Robert, I'm doing a lot of split concerts at the Aspen Institute. Playing the Aspen Institute, for those who don't know, is a real cool place on the eastern shore of Maryland. It's a compound. It's got three properties, and it offers security for high government officials. Years ago, President Clinton and Arafat and Begin had their conference there at the Aspen Institute. There are several around the world. So it's a very prestigious place, and so they have a concert series, and they've invited me to play there. So I'm doing a first half classical on their 9-foot Steinway. And then Rick Whitehead will join me on the second half, and we'll play some jazz and blues, and I'll do some singing. Rick and Mark and I will be playing the Chestertown Jazz Festival, also on the Eastern Shore here, and I'm looking forward to that. That's always a lot of fun. I've played that many times before, and we always have a good time. I'm also playing a split concert with Rick in Catonsville. It's close to Baltimore, in a beautiful concert series I've done once before. They've had some major stars. Aaron Roseanne, the concert violinist, played the series, and I feel honored to be called again to play on that series. So I'm doing a lot of different things, Robert, and loving it. I have got this program right now that I'm playing a lot. I just played it six times around the country. It's called my I Love Paris program, and it's a solo classical program, and it's involves composers who had worked, studied, lived in Paris. So I'm playing Debussy, Ravel, Villa-Lobos, Chopin, and Gershwin. And all those guys studied in Paris. It was kind of news to me that Villa-Lobos, a Brazilian composer, studied in France, studied in Paris. He went there four times on different occasions to do some study. And, of course, George Gershwin studied in Paris and wrote, American in Paris, and I'm playing that on the program along with the Rhapsody in Blue.
Excellent. Awesome. I know that you have three albums. You may have more out than that. I know about Our Little Place. I know about Sing Your Song, and I know about Crossover. And I believe that Our Little Place, was the one that you released in 2014 or so.
Yeah, that's the latest. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is the latest. That's what I was thinking. And so the next time that we have Steph back, ladies and gentlemen, we will play a little bit more of his music from you. We've got about two or three more minutes left. What song off of that album, Our Little Place, is near and dear to your heart? And that's like asking somebody which of their children is the favorite. I know. But I want to know that. And even before you answer that, let me, Jim, I want to bring Carrie back in. Carrie, I want to know what thoughts you have, having heard all of the things that you have heard. Are there any questions or statements that you want to share with our guest this evening? Okay, I guess we may have not gotten to bring Carrie back in. Like I told you guys, we're having some interesting opportunities tonight. So
yeah,
it is what it is. Well. Let's see. Do you remember my last question now, Steph? Which one is your favorite?
There's a tune on that latest album, Our Little Place, called "Why'd You Run From Me," and it's an original of mine. And that. Our Little Place album and Sing Your Song album, those are both vocal albums. I'm singing on those and doing all the music, actually. So that was a lot of fun to produce that. My friend Mark helped me a great deal with the final mix, and we went to his studio for that. But those two albums have been a real eye-opener for me, because after all these years and playing with so many different vocalists, I said to myself, you know, I think I'd like to sing on something. So I've been pursuing that and having a real good time doing that. You reach a lot of people with vocals. There's no question about it. And it's natural that if you would sing the language of the listener, there's going to have a much greater impact as far as communication. So that's what I've been doing recently, is doing a lot more singing. And when you get an opportunity, check out that "Why'd You Run From Me." I like that song a lot.
"Why'd You Run For Me"? Thank you. I appreciate that. I will do that. Let me also, ladies and gentlemen, this evening thank James Renford Powell, who made it possible for us to come into your homes and into your automobiles and your cell phones, because had it not been for Jim, I wouldn't have been able to get up. So I really appreciate he's having to work double duty. I know he'll make me pay for it, but he's working double duty tonight, because right after this show at 8:30 p.m., as I said, James Renford Powell will host his own show, The Laws of Material Wealth. So we invite you to run off and grab a cup of coffee or your favorite libation, and then at 8:30 to come back to the same telephone number that you called in on, 347-838-9142, and join him, as I will, because now I owe him, and I know that he's going to make certain that I pay. Our guest this evening has been Stefan Skajari, my dear, dear friend, who is doing some phenomenal things up in the area of Maryland. If you ever get a chance, you got to go by there and catch it. He told you where he was. So what we're going to do is see if we can't go out with a little bit of his song, and you get to hear Stefan singing. Here's
great.
Wish you
had
been as long as you stand to be when you plan to go. There is a time when lovers have to say so long goodbye, farewell. It's really that's when have a nice day. There comes a time when love is gone. There comes a time without a song. Still I keep asking why you have to run. run from me. I really need to know. Why does it have to be? Why'd you have to go? Was I so wrong to think you gave me to be at our home to talk through things to things and understand?
Thank you so much for listening to The No Show. Thank you, Stefan Skajari. We'll catch up with you again soon, my friend.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. God bless.
Blessing. God bless you.
Well, that was...